evolving education for a changing world. Expand your career opportunities and earn an MBA from University of Cincinnati Online Lindner College of Business. Designed for busy professionals, UC Online MBA is flexible, personalized, and supports students from application all the way through graduation. Get the world-class degree you deserve without sacrificing work or family commitments. Apply now at online.uc.edu/MBA.
Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the Prime Media Plus app.
Sadly, this happens a lot more often than it needs to in this country, where people die without a valid will in place. And there are consequences to that. Let's unpack those with Eric Yordan, who is a certified financial planner at Crewe Invest. Eric, a very good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Africa. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
I say this happens a lot more often than it needs to. Would I be correct in saying this happens in the majority of the cases, actually, in South Africa, where people die without leaving any instructions as to what needs to happen to the assets when they're dead?
Yes, unfortunately, it happens more often than one would think, especially in terms of our law, where there's very specific technical requirements for what constitutes a valid will. Often that is something that is overlooked when drafting a document, and sometimes people even think that they have a valid will, which in law is not seen as such. So yes, unfortunately, it's quite a common occurrence, and that's why people need to be aware of what the consequences are of passing away without a valid will.
And what are those consequences, Eric?
Yes, so when you pass away without a valid will in South Africa, our law provides for the laws of interstate succession. And that is a set method in terms of which your estate will then be divided. And it will then look at who your either your spouse, dependents, extended families are. And there will be set formula that will be used to determine who inherits a specific proportion of your estate.
And that formula is determined by the state, I imagine, and could be influenced by Africa is a dependent of Eric's and he is much older, but Barry, who's also a dependent, is much younger and has more university schooling, for example, to go, so that, you know, Barry will get more money than I would from your estate, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. Right?
Correct. So it's very much a set structure. And to maybe give an example, if I pass away, I have a spouse and, as an example, two children, and my estate would be divided by first of all, assets would go to my spouse, but that would not be my full estate. It would be determined by looking at counting the amount of children that we have, adding one, so basically three, so my estate could be divided by three. A second test that would then be applied to see that the portion that goes to my spouse, that needs to be at least 250,000 rand. So if a third of my estate is less than 250,000 rand, she would then get the 250, and then the balance would then go to my children in equal shares. So it's a very set structure that is followed to determine who receives a specific proportion of my estate.
And I think it's important to note that that process might take a lot longer than necessary. And perhaps some family dynamics cannot afford the luxury of time in order for your estate to be wound up and divided by the state, as opposed to an executor that you'd have appointed literally carrying out your instructions.
Correct. So first of all, in all instances, an executor would have to be appointed. So in that instance where you pass away without a valid will, obviously normally you would appoint an executor in your will. So that's something that's now left to the state to decide. And in those instances, yes, the master's office who would act would consult with the potential heirs and to determine who they would like to nominate as an executor. But as you can imagine, that would definitely delay the process quite substantially. And then also, as the heirs, potential heirs, in terms of interstate succession, would like to inherit, they can't determine a specific asset that they would like. They all inherit in proportions. So yes, it can, and especially where there is family dynamics, it can delay to substantial delays in winding up to such an estate.
Where it also gets scary, actually, is in a case where you die, and let's say you don't have a spouse, perhaps your spouse is deceased or they've, you know, gone on to go live in another part of the planet, and you've got two minor children, the guardianship of those children will then be determined by somebody else.
That's a very important aspect, yes. So another aspect that you can deal with in your will is that you could, if there's no natural guardians left for your minor children, that you can then appoint a guardian to act in that role after your passing. If there is no valid will, that privilege is no longer there. And what's then left is that it's left up to the state to determine who the guardian of your children needs to be. Again, there is consultations with the children depending on what their ages are, etc. But ultimately, the decision is then left up to the state to appoint a person in such an important a role that they need to play with your minor children.
By the way, when you are compiling your will and you are thinking of somebody who's going to be a guardian to your child, have a conversation with them beforehand. Let them not find out at the end when the matter has... I mean, I make light of it, but this is actually a serious point because I know somebody who was left as a guardian to their friend's two children, and she was just not in a position to be able to take care of those children. So that became a legal issue, particularly with the deceased family. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. I think let's spend the remaining time we have, Eric, talking about the importance of executorship and who you are able to appoint as an executor in your will.
Yes. So, yes, executorship is definitely an extremely important role that needs to be played, because that's the person who would actually oversee the winding up process of your estate. We'd have to have discussions with the heirs to determine how they would like to deal with the estate, etc. So it's an extremely important aspect. That person needs to be someone who has the experience in dealing with such matters, obviously winding up an estate. Although sometimes it might sound like a simple process, it's extremely bureaucratic steps that needs to be taken, and often someone needs to be quite experienced in determining how to manage these aspects, how to deal with the master's office, etc. So appointing an executor is an extremely important part of the will drafting process, and that's why it's important to have a will that you can appoint that person. A further aspect as well is that obviously the work to be done as an executor comes at a fee. There is a standard fee that is set. But in your will, as an example, if you do have a valid will, you have the ability to actually negotiate that fee and have that fee set in the will as well, which obviously can come at a considerable cost saving for your estate when it's being wound up.
Eric, this is an important conversation. Thank you very much for making time available to chat to us today. Eric Yudan is a certified financial planner at Crew Invest, talking to us about the implications and the impact of dying without a will, and more importantly, what you need to do in considering who's going to be a guardian for your children and who's going to be the executor of your estate. Please take some time and apply your mind to this very important, uncomfortable, but very important topic.